home for the last 3.5 years. And it's been a fantastic experience just being in Jubilee, being part of this Jubilee family. And occasionally I do get the privilege to stand before you and have the whole church looking at me. So this morning we will be continuing with our sermon series on the 5 G's of Jubilee, which explores the 5 G's in Jubilee Church's vision statement. Rick kicked it off 2 weeks ago looking at giving, and last week Nick did a thorough job looking at gather. Today I'll be looking at grow, and then the last of the 2 G's will come in the subsequent 2 weeks, which is glorify and go. We will be taking our main Bible reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. In a bit later, if you look for it, I'll get you to read it for me. But before we look at the verse, this week, for most of you with school-age kids, this week would have been half-term week, which is a week that most people take time off work or business to spend time with their children, if not for childcare arrangements, but sometimes to just enjoy just not having school and spending time with your children. The half-term week, just by its nature, means it's a time that you will interact a bit more with your children because you're not coming back in the evening and having them tired from school. It's a good time to actually see what your child has been learning, what they've been developing in. You start to realize that more of their character is coming out. A lot of what they're learning in school comes out during the half term. If you don't, I personally notice it. And so the half term is a good time to actually notice the growth in your child. And as we look at growth, we will be looking at how does God look at us in relation to growth. For parents like me, there's a thing about our children, I mean, irrespective of their capability or ability or gifting, I take pride when I see my children grow. I take pride when I see them learn. I take pride when I see the potential within them being outplayed in their daily life. As Sean was just praying for Reuben, Reuben wasn't always at a stage where he could fly off and travel the world. So, yeah. If he was, then that's a miracle in itself. But there's something about just the father and son standing there and sending the son off to travel the world. And it's been a growth process for Reuben too. Anyways, let's go back to the Bible verse. You can read for me, and then we'll look in a bit more into the sermon. So you read. So we're Ephesians 4, verse 11, if you start from verse 11. Okay, let's do three. Have we? Whichever. Okay, Haley, do you want to read it for us? I can pass you the mic. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work.
All right. Thank you. Sorry for putting you on the spotlight. So Matthew Henry, in his Bible commentary, really expands on the verses we've just read, where he makes a point that every believer is given gifts of grace for their own mutual benefit. So there's a thing about each of us here has been given something by God. There's something unique in every one of us. And those things that are unique to us are gifts. And they're gifts that God gives us for his own pleasure. He pleasures when he sees us work through those gifts and the gifts come out in us. Just like a parent finds pride when they see the uniqueness of their children coming out and outplaying. Matthew Henry goes on to say that there's a fullness in Christ and a measure of which is given according to God's will to every believer. So there's a thing about God and Christ are one and they represent fullness. And part of that fullness is put into each of us. But the thing about the fullness is that we actually never come to perfection of it. We never come to the full measure. While we're here on earth, we're on a journey where we are continuously growing, and that fullness is continuously outworking in us. Philippians 2, verse 13 tells us that at the point of salvation, it challenges us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. So it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So what that verse is telling us is that we're given salvation, but our salvation is just the starting point. It challenges us to work out the salvation, not to work for the salvation. Don't get me wrong there, because that verse has sometimes been taken out of context where people say, oh, you have to work for your salvation. No, we don't. The Bible tells us that at the point at which Jesus died at the cross, when we believe in him, our salvation is sorted. We start a journey. And the whole thing about fear and trembling. So this morning, just before I came up, Sean asked us to read Mark 12 there. For me, fear and trembling represents sometimes when you see the amazing things that God does, you can't help but actually feel a bit shaken. I was shaken when Sean directed us to that because I didn't tell him, but that verse had been in my mind all morning, and I had to change my sermon a bit. But that's kind of the amazingness, the wealth of what God has for us. So going back to growth, I just thought it's really good to start before we even exploring growth to establish that fact that as Bible-believing Christians, once you get to the point of belief, growth isn't about guilt or making you feel like, oh, I'm just not up to scratch. No, it's about a relationship you have with God. God pleasures seeing you grow. For John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So you might be looking at that and wondering, what is that? I've set out the spiritual grounding. Just know I'm not making fun of anyone, but a question I want to challenge you all to is, and you don't have to answer it, keep it to yourself. Are you growing spiritually? Just really think of that. Are you growing spiritually? Can you say you are growing? Don't answer it. Just hold on to that thought. And as we go through the sermon, if you have notes, I will lay out certain indicators. Being an accountant, I like something to measure with. So I've been going through the Bible and trying to work out how do I know if I'm growing spiritually. And I've come up with a few things that tie in nicely with the verse we've just read from Mark 12:30. And for those of you that don't know the context, Jesus was challenged by some of the legal people in his time. to just summarize the Ten Commandments. He was asked, which of the commandments is the greatest of them? And Jesus' answer to them was that you should love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he goes on to say, beyond loving God, the next thing is love your neighbor by as much as you love yourself. So what I've done in the context of gauging our spiritual growth is to split those two verses into the three characters that really stood out for me there. First is God. Second is neighbor. And the third is self. So in terms of measuring our growth or checking where our growth is, the question I'd like to pose for you, and I will lay out a few points that some of you might find helpful to go and really reflect on later in terms of your relationship with God. And the question is, how are you in terms of your growth when you look at your relationship with God? Do you feel you're growing in your relationship with God? See, God created man and all of the universe for a purpose. And the purpose, the primary purpose, is to worship him. As we were singing earlier on, everything that has breath, let them worship God. And in terms of checking your own growth in relation to God, a key question I find useful is, ask yourself, do you feel an increasing desire to know him more? Do you feel like from the time you gave your life to God, you have more of an interest to know God more, to find out more about him? You see, God calls us into relationship with him, God with himself. God created us in his image and likeness, and he set us above all of his other creation. So he really holds us in high regard. And that's the reason why, even when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, God did not hide from God, from man. It was man who was hiding. God came to Adam and Eve saying, "Where are you?" And that's what sin does. Sin makes you want to hide from God. But God never gives up on us. He comes for us, just as he came for Adam and Eve. And even when man rejected God, he sent his son to come for us. So there's a thing about God actually wants to spend more time with us than we realize. And the more you find that you're actually wanting to know him more, then I believe that's an outplaying of you getting to know him more. The second point I have under relationship with God is, are you seeking the truth in God's word? Are you filtering life through a God lens? Are you kind of referring back to God's word when things happen in your life? This week has been interesting with kind of in the news. There was a lot of talk about the girl who went off to become a jihadi bride and wants to come back. And I don't know what people's opinions are on that, and I won't go into what mine was, but I found myself processing that through a God lens, whereas before I gave my life to Christ, I would have processed it perhaps through what people around me talk about or what I get from the media. So if you're growing in your relationship with God, you will find that you are going to his word to process kind of things. There was an armband which was quite popular in my teen years, which was WWJD, what would Jesus do? Which, I don't know what's happened to it, but I found it really useful at that time because it just challenges you on a daily basis when you're doing things. Oh, what would Jesus do? But anyways, that's beside the point. The next thing is, in terms of your relationship with God, are you finding that you're more willing to do his will? If you're growing with your relationship with God, you'll find that you have more interest in kind of doing God's will. You'll find that your faith is increasing and your will to yourself by default is decreasing. So faith and self are almost, it sounds like a contradiction, but the more you rely on yourself, then the less faith you are exhibiting. And as you grow with your relationship with God, you'll find that you are relying more on Jesus for things. Are we still together? So I hope you're noting these points so that you can go engage where you are on your growth journey. The next thing that comes to mind is about our relationship with others. The value that God places on people is one of those almost non-negotiables in Christianity. No matter what your views are or what your theological inclination is, I think most Christians will agree human beings are special. And if you don't think so, just refer to the Bible. Everything about the Bible is about people. God cares about the whole world, but he has placed people high in regard to all of his creation. And so when you gauge your level of spiritual growth, a very useful test to check is love. Do you find that you are increasing in your sphere of love? Are you taking more interest in people? Are you liking or loving people that would normally rub you up the wrong way? Are you interested, like Jesus was, on some of those people that are the marginalized and outcast in society? Jesus took his time to talk to the Samaritan woman. He was hanging out with the prostitutes, the tax collectors and cheats. They were all his friends. He loved them. Jesus was about people. People at that time, like someone with leprosy. Leprosy is a disease that even in modern days, in some developing countries, when you have leprosy, you're kept in one side of the town, and that area would only be for the lepers. But those were the sorts of people that Jesus was interested in. And as Christians, kind of we reflect our life through the Jesus lens. We try to do things like him. And the challenge is, are you growing in your love for others? Are you growing in how much you care about people beyond your immediate family or friends? Then the next point on the relationship with others is about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a hard one. 2 weeks ago or so, Liam Neeson was in the news for the wrong reason, in my view. For those of you not familiar with the story, he was promoting his new film, which was about revenge, and he narrated an event that happened to him over 40 years ago or so, where someone close to him was raped. And he was angry and wanted to lash out at any black person he found, because the person was raped by a black person. And he said he was mortified and horrified by himself having that process, that he just went out and wanted to pick a fight with any black person so he could kill the person. That sounds horrible. And the media completely lashed out on him for having that. And for a black person, I know that feeling, because people I know have been victims of just kind of hate crimes for no reason. But I could not understand why he was bombarded with all sorts of insult for admitting that that was the process he was going through. He was ashamed of it, and he sought help and has come out of that. So for me, for him to be condemned for that just doesn't sit right as a Christian. Because God knows how many things we've all thought that has been that horrible to God's eyes. But there's something about forgiveness which the modern era, I think we really need to rethink the whole process of redemption in modern society, especially as we're advised to put everything about our life online. Because all too often, especially the young ones, you'll find things you put up online 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line, people will hold that against you and it will affect your future. Anyways, forgiveness is one that I think the church and Christians can play a role in shaping what people understand to be forgiveness. When Jesus died on the cross, he forgave all our sins. The moment we accept Jesus, irrespective of what it is you've done, it's forgiven. We're forgiven, we will be forgiven for the things we're yet to commit, and we will continue to be forgiven. So there's something about forgiveness. If you are growing in your spiritual relationship, you will find that you find it much quicker to forgive people. My wife's laughing because sometimes I do struggle with forgiveness in that my natural tendency is someone upsets me, I like to put a distance and actually have time to process it, and that's fine. But I'm finding that as I am growing in Christ, I'm being challenged to actually forgive quicker. The next area is actually concern for the welfare of others. In terms of your, as you grow in your relationship with God, as you grow spiritually, you will find naturally that you have an increasing awareness of what others are going through. It's almost like a sixth sense comes to you, that you start to notice if someone isn't doing well, you go out to them, and you have that urge to actually want to find out, what's going on? How can I help you? Can I pray for you? Sometimes you might not even be able to do anything, but it's just that awareness for others. You become aware of people's emotional needs, people's economic and physical needs, people's spiritual needs. And it's a journey we're on. So as you look to yourself and see, where are you on your spiritual growth? One of the things, indicators would be that, are you growing in your awareness for the concerns of others? Because when we look at Jesus, almost his whole ministry was about others. He was all about healing, feeding, providing, bringing salvation. It was all about others. And in this growing world of kind of consumerism, there's also a thing that you'll start to notice about your concern for others is that as you care for others, you will be challenged on how can you help people? How can you help their situation? So that's on others. The next point is, yep. About yourself. It's a hard one about the self because there are two almost extreme balances that tend to play out in modern society. There's a lot of that obsession about self. Me, 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 everything's me, my note, my pad, iPad, I what, selfie. Which can seem as if the world is self-obsessed, everything about self or self-consciousness. But there's also another balance that people are just so busy with every other thing and sometimes forget to take care of themselves. Something I was challenged with recently was about that second part where it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Someone challenged me and said, would you treat others as you treat yourself? You're challenging me about kind of my work-life balance and like, would I want everyone to be working kind of the long hours I was working at that point? Which is a good one. I think for Christians, it's a good challenge to say, yes, love your neighbor as yourself, But how are you treating yourself? Are you treating yourself how you would want to treat others? Are you taking care of yourself? And it's not just about physical taking care of yourself, but there's a thing about emotionally. Are you checking where you are emotionally? Are you checking where you are spiritually? Are you checking where you are even physically? So when we look back at Philippians 2, when it says work out your salvation, there's something about, there are things about ourselves that we need to work out. And so my first point under self is, as you check how you're growing, you'll find this, like if you are growing spiritually, your sensitivity to sin will increase. When you first become a Christian or give your life to Christ and become aware of sin, sometimes it's when it's right there in your face that you realize, oh yeah, I'm sinning. I should back up. And as you grow, you'll find that you start to spot the sin even before it comes close to you from a distance. I remember not too long after I gave my life to Christ, I used to be really into hardcore rap. I had an album by someone most of you might not know called DMX. I really loved that album. It's called And Then There Was X. I remember traveling with my dad's friend. He was just asking everyone to play their own CD. And I brought mine. It was my new CD. I was happy about it. Oh, my. That was the longest hour in my life. I noticed every single swear word that was in that CD. And I don't know if he noticed it. He was singing along to some of the songs. But I just felt so convicted that actually, that was a turning point for me. I really started to filter the type of music I was listening to. And I'm not saying that's the same for everyone, but for me, I personally felt convicted that actually, no, this isn't right. So I became aware of that. That was what you call kind of a dormant sin that you don't even notice and all that, kind of just listening to cuss and swear and even singing it. So you find as you grow in Christ, some of those things that you become accustomed to actually start to stick out to you and you start to challenge yourself. Oh, actually, should I be doing this? That's the outworking of spiritual growth. Next good question to ask yourself is, are you becoming less kind of desirous for the things of the world? Are you becoming less and less inclined to want to conform to the world's standard? The Bible challenges us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and spirit. It calls us to live differently. And as Christians, one of the outworkings of a growing relationship with God is that you will find things that are just normal to everyone might not feel so normal to you because you'll be processing things through a completely different perspective. For example, there's in some countries that I work in, the views on refugees, it's not that they're people that you should help. Some see them as kind of, what are these people doing? They're just bringing trouble to us. And I can understand people's insecurity with that, but for me, personally, from a Christian perspective, I just cannot see a family like mine that has had a circumstance that has completely uprooted them from their home and just ignore them. So I challenge that view. And for you, it might not be something as extreme as refugees. It might just be things like, oh, are you interested in buying the next set of trainers that come out, or the next game, or the next car, or the next thing, which, if that's what your life is all about and it's driving you, then perhaps you need to check, because as you grow in Christ, you'll find that he's challenging you. Are you worshiping those things that the world worship? Another point about self is that as you grow in your relationship with Christ, you will find that you're getting more and more aware of your giftings and talents. Back in the verse in Ephesians, we read how different people in the church are given different things, different talents and giftings. And God gives us those giftings and talents to help the church to be built up. And by the church, it means God's kingdom. He gives us gifts to be able to bring people to Him. He gives us gifts for our own pleasure and for the mutual pleasure of all of us in the church, like the worship team. They worship excellently. They lead us. Try giving me worship to lead and you'll all probably walk out. So, through my spiritual journey, I have recognized that my gifting and talent isn't leading worship. But that's just me. But I've recognized things that I am good at or decent at and things that I can grow in. And I try and practice them and put myself out there to be tested and grow. If you're confused about what your gift and talent is, there's a simple three questions or three things that you can always do to know what your gifting is. Your gifting is, one, something that you will be good at. It doesn't matter what it is, but something you're good at. If you're good at it, it's a gift from God. Secondly, you will enjoy doing it. You'll be good at it, and you'll enjoy doing it. So if you're confused, what's my talent? One, you're good at it. Two, you will enjoy doing it. And lastly, God will create opportunities for you to use it. So, as you grow in your faith, you become aware of these things. And a significant sign of growth is, when you become aware of it, are you finding that you're growing more in those things? If your gifting is speaking, are you going out to speak to people a bit more? If your gifting is just caring for people, are you enjoying it? Are you finding those opportunities to do it? And so, kind of those are the three realms we look at when we come to spiritual growth. As a church, Jubilee, we've titled this year as our year of increase. So every year we kind of pray over a year and decide kind of what to call the year depending on what God has revealed to us. And we've said this is a year of increase. And so I went back to look at our vision statement to see what actually does growth mean to us as a church. And it reads that as a church, we want to see members grow into world-changing disciples. We want to see children, young people, and adults develop into spiritual maturity. So going back to that picture, we don't want spiritual babies. We want to help people grow to be spiritually mature, living out purposeful lives. We also want to see every believer baptized and seeking to apply biblical truth to real life situations and relationships and to be full of God's Spirit. So as we kind of look at ourselves and gauge where we are on our journey of growth, I think those three realms that I've covered about our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and relationship with self are perhaps areas that we need to sit and process through either today or during the week to just see where are we on that journey. One helpful thing I've found about growth in any respect is, again, just being my own nature, I kind of like to work within a framework of something. If I spend that time assessing where it is that God, and also tuning in with God to see where is it that God is challenging me to grow, I've always found it useful to do three things which I call ICE. The first being I is intentional, C, consistent, E, environment. Later on, towards the end of the sermon, I will share kind of some of my own personal testimony, which won't be recorded because it's quite sensitive to some of the work I do. But what I found about intentionality, that whole ICE model, is once God put something in my heart and I narrowed down, okay, this is it. This is what I need to work on. There's a thing about being intentional about what it is you're going to do. I personally find it useful to name it. Say, okay, this year of increase, yeah, okay, which area am I increasing? I can't handle too much information, so I tend to say, okay, is it just one area or so? But some of you, it might be more than that. You name it, you become intentional, you say, okay, I'm going to grow in this area. By being intentional, it means that you're not just going to grow accidentally. There will be kind of a guided growth. Then in terms of consistency, as you know, we're at the end of February, so most New Year's resolutions by now, they say about 80% of New Year's resolutions have been broken or forgotten. So consistency is that long-term persistence that will actually lead you to achieve what it is God has called you to. If you find what you are called to do or grow in and you are consistent in it, you will find that by the very nature of actually investing in it and being consistent, revisiting those steps that you identify, you will naturally grow. You will grow in that area. In advertising, you hear of subliminal messaging, where the more you see something around, before you know it, even if you don't, it's not directly advertised to you, but the more you see something just coming on, just featuring in all parts of your life, before you know it, you become aware of it and you become interested in it. And for the marketers, you buy it. So there's a thing about consistency. When you identify your area of growth and things you need to put in place to grow, you need to be consistent to see real growth. Then environment is the next one. The people and the environment around you will ultimately determine whether you achieve growth or you don't, because your environment can either work in your favor or against you. And I think this is where the church comes into play a bit, or a lot. The church creates a conducive environment for us to be challenged to grow. This sermon and kind of our worship, there's a lot about praising God in the worship. And I think that's setting the tone, the environment, for you to be tuned into God's word. We have our growth groups. They're called growth groups for a reason, because members are encouraged to grow in those groups. There's a thing I find really helpful, which is about accountability. And the church creates that environment for us. You make friends in church. You kind of do life with people. I have someone in church who I spend time with him every now and then just to process things I'm going through in life. And that, for me, helps me to be accountable. That forces me to have an environment where I tell him, okay, this is what I'm working on. But the mere fact that I've told someone this is what I need to work on helps me to have a checkpoint where after a couple of months we meet to see, oh, how's it going? So the church is really vital about setting that environment. And kind of as we consider, I'll just wrap up the sermon now, but towards the end I will give you a bit of my own story of growth. But I really want to leave you with that thought of, what is it that God is calling you to grow in today? What is it that God has gifted in you for the building of the church, for his pleasure?